When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The 2 hours you've all been waiting for is finally here.
I had to jump in, man. The streets are hot. I had to jump in here quick.
I mean, the streets are so hot.
Moneyline, with the dynamic duo of Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh.
But you usually have some plans when you're rocking solo.
Really, dude? Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, dude.
All right, let me just start with this. How good is the NBA then right now? How good is the NBA play postseason right now?
It's
so fun.
Is it
not delivering? Is it not delivering every night?
And I woke up again in the middle of the night to see that score and go, oh my goodness. And then when I saw the highlights of how it ended, wow, exactly.
Insanity. I mean, the fact that none of them covered.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
We are here on a Thursday afternoon, and when I say we, it's Donnie Wrightside, it's Kevin Walsh, it's SiriusXM Channel 159, it's Moneyline, and there's no better place to be because we got NBA action tonight. We also have Major League Baseball going on live right now, and a plethora of hot topics along the landscape. Welcome into the show, and yes, K-Dub, you can hear him rustling around and eating chips in the background. That's him.
I'm actually not eating chips. That's very slanderous of you, sir. I don't know where that assumption would come from here, but you know, it's funny. You got we got an NBA game. Not that I forgot. We talked about it a lot this morning, but it kind of like we didn't have one yesterday for the first time in how long? DRS. When was the last time we didn't have an NBA game? Right, maybe that one day in between the NBA's end of the regular season and the play-in beginning. So it's been over a month. So it's just. But it's nice to see, and that's why, unless you had, you know, specific wagers lined up, I feel like most people, you know, in some degree should have been rooting for the Celtics to grab game four. Let's at least get a game five here. You know, you got a pass time in a weekend, you can kind of make do with that, but I'm glad we're going to at least see a fifth game in this series.
That's everybody doing that. That's, I mean, we just want more basketball. And again, it's not as if it's like, well, it's still going to have the NBA Finals. Yeah, it'd be something if the NBA Finals started up Saturday night regardless of what happened, but that's not the case here. It won't start till next Thursday, so the more basketball that we have, the fun. And I assume that, what, game seven would be Monday, is that correct?
Game seven would be Monday, yes.
Memorial Day, absolutely. Monday there. No, and I guess they would put on at 9 o'clock, like imbeciles probably, but that's neither here nor there at this point. Two Eastern
teams. Honestly,
put that bad boy on at 4:30 in the afternoon and get monster ratings.
Yeah. I mean, that's... you know what, though? I know it's the holiday. I don't know. 4:30 would not be the time I would put that on.
Yeah.
You know, like, that doesn't sound right at all.
Earlier? What are you going
earlier? No, that doesn't sound right. But it just doesn't need to be 8:30 at night, which it's going to be, because I'm pretty sure every single conference final game was positioned
brutal
for 8:30. Moving it up to 7:30, I think, you know, is more than fine. But I'm not going. You're not going to get me to come onto that side. 4:30, Just because it's a Monday holiday, that would be totally bizarre. Totally bizarre.
You want to look at monster ratings? Put it there. Yeah, let's put it at 8:30 at night where everybody's eating and drinking and barbecuing and having fun and then just saying like, oh, yeah, they'll still be up and awake ready to go for that game. Man, everybody's going to be asleep, including you. You might not even make it through if it's a game seven on a Monday.
You do not have to try and throw me in. There's a 0% chance that I would be asleep for such a thing. Zero. I would be awake if the game started at 11 at night. It does not matter.
Brutal. Absolutely. And by the way, you talk about doesn't matter. How about this as a nice little segue into it? Gabe Vincent's out. The odds makers say, yeah, it doesn't matter, Kevin. How about that?
Yeah, which I think is understandable, though.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm the one thing that was bizarre is because it's Gabe Vincent, right?
Yes.
Donnie, it took them a while to figure out that they needed to shut down these series made three leaders. And I got to tell you, though, it took me even longer to figure out how to capitalize and bet on it. I was staring at it, doing math in my head. Who do I get involved with? And basically, by the time I had come to my conclusion, they did lock everything up. But that's actually sneaky where. And I know you kind of joke about it. Nobody knows who's made how many threes, and it's not really a joke. It probably is true. But that's actually the place that you would see the biggest impact of the Gabe Vincent absence there.
Yeah, which allowed me to do some things, too, by taking a look at it, where maybe you take, like, a Caleb Martin again or, like, Jimmy Butler, because there's going to be a lot of shots and points going around. Now, granted, it's not as if your superstar is out. It's like, hey, there's 26 shots up for grabs. But at least, you know, double-digit shots are now up for grabs here. And also, how it does play into it. We'll handicap that game and go over a ton of more information on that. Major League Baseball, as we said, is underway here in the 1 o'clock hour. The Cardinals and the Reds are already in the third inning. It's actually the bottom of the third. Surprising for me. Because the Reds certainly don't have a great pitcher on the mound today in Weaver by any stretch, and the Cardinals aren't doing anything against him. So that game looked like it's trending towards under, now listed at a 6.5. The Toronto Blue Jays and the Tampa Bay Rays, they're going to get kickstarted in about 5 minutes here. That is also another look for the Rays. If you're looking to line it up and you watch the early line, some left-handed batters that are in the lineup, they should be able to do damage. So if we're taking a look overall, which obviously the lineups are out, Lau is going to be a lefty. Lowe is going to be a lefty today. Walls and Rayleigh, along with Mejia, any one of those, certainly, and Wander Franco as well, would be legitimate chances for RBI shots against Manoa, who, quite frankly, has been atrocious all over, but particularly against left-handed batters.
Yeah, I am involved right now in that Cardinal game because I actually wanted to get involved pregame and just call it what it is. I just forgot it was a 12:30 five start. So for me, that number dropped down to 5.5 or dropped from 5.5 to 3.5. I am on their team total. I got in before that third inning started, so that number certainly has dropped since I bet it. But I'm involved here. I think the Cards will get a little bit off of Weaver today.
Runs, and more runs. Decent little card tonight as well in Major League Baseball. We'll hit all that and a lot more. More topics, and more topics today. So if you want to get a hold of us, it's easy to do. 844-843-6879. Moneyline on a Thursday. It's Donnie and Kevin, and we will be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, two games now officially underway in Major League Baseball. Cardinals-Reds, 0-0, bottom of the third. Two outs, man on first base. Top of the first inning, one out here with the Blue Jays up and Zach Eflin on the mound. And then we also have some more afternoon Major League Baseball action. Game in the 3 o'clock hour, Kevin, Marlins and the Rockies, along with the Padres and the Nationals at 4 o'clock. And then the night games begin, which I do think there are some decent shots here. The one that I am focused on somewhat here is that Milwaukee Brewers-Giants game if Teheran is officially on the mound. And from what I'm seeing here, the FanDuel Sportsbook still is to be determined, but a lot of outlets are reporting it's going to be Teheran, so something to keep an eye on in that one today. But we do have NBA action tonight, and it should be fun, and we might as well just get into it and see what's what. I'm going to just start right here. Do you believe that we will be watching an NBA basketball game on Saturday night?
So this is the hilarious part of it. I actually am leaning towards Miami winning this game, Donnie, but I because of what we do, I'm very aware that I am trying that I'm being almost casual in nature of calling an 8-point upset. Which is a lot. So I think based on the odds, Miami's clearly the bet. I think in my heart, I actually do think the Heat are going to close out this game here tonight. But I'm certainly, it's not like I'm giving Boston no chance. This isn't the most confident I've been in a Miami game. Like, I'll tell you this, not to skip ahead, but if there is a game six, I will be uber confident in the Heat winning that basketball game. I think I really am leaning with Miami tonight, but I think there's other ways to attack them than hypothetically say their money line in terms of my confidence in this game tonight.
And also, estimated starting lineup now for the Miami Heat with Gabe Vincent out. Kyle Lowry pushes into that point guard position. Max Strus, Jimmy Butler, Kevin Love, and Bam Adebayo. So there are some changes there. And also, you know, it's not so much just strategically what happens with Kyle Lowry in the lineup. It's who's going to take those points which Gabe Vincent had, anywhere between 10, 15, sometimes 20 points there. Is Lowry going to step up and play more minutes? Is there more three-point shots there from Max Strus, Caleb Martin, Duncan Robinson? You get the picture there. So whenever you have moving parts there, some people will look at that as a negative, like, oh, no, Miami Heat. Well, that opens up other opportunities to maybe get some value, if you believe, on some of those players that might get a few extra shots with him being out. Smart, White, Brown, Tatum, and Horford here, of course, for the Boston Celtics. This should be a good one, Kevin, because we talked about it on the early line. Every single time you look at the Celtics and go, automatic win, don't watch, they lose the basketball game. And if that continues again tonight, I still won't be shocked at that. I was shocked that, you know, when 0-2 and leaving and all that good stuff that the Celtics have. But if I turn my TV on tonight at the half, I see a double-digit lead for the Heat, I'm actually not going to be shocked.
No, I would not either. And I actually love what you said this morning. I kind of jokingly turned it into a trend, but the fact that they've lost every game five. Mm-hmm. Anytime you have a game five, it's always a massive game. A game five is never not massive because of how much can swing a game. And the game five that Boston played against Atlanta was a closeout opportunity and they're on their home floor. And they lost it. And the game five against Philadelphia was the chance to go up 3-2. And they lost it. And that flipped them to dogs in that series for the very first time against those 76ers. So I do not think that we can sit here and go in the way that people usually would have. Well, look, they're back home. Their home court advantage has not meant a damn thing all postseason long. They've lost, what, five games, I believe it is, at home in these playoffs? That's ridiculous.
No, it certainly is. And how about this? Sometimes, you know, you can look at this as the kiss of death, the public dog that everybody likes. But again, we love the Miami Heat, as most of people did in game number one. The Miami Heat, again, who won game number one, got an even better line in game number two and won again. 8-point line tonight. The FanDuel Sportsbook reporting back percentage of bets on the Miami Heat, 85%. Percentage of money on the Miami Heat, 80%. So I think everybody's in that same mindset going, okay, my eyes didn't fool me through the first four games here. The Miami Heat are the better team. They're getting 8 points. I'll take my chances.
Yeah, so I am, though, because I feel like the Celtics stuff has been so outrageous, I will say, tonight being maybe, I guess, that first time, because you've been checking the percentages, though, so maybe I'm wrong here, and do correct me if I'm wrong, but is tonight that first time that we've seen that massive, massive wave of money on Miami? Or has it been like this throughout this
season? No, this is the highest it's been. It really has. Yeah. I haven't seen it close to 9 out of 10 tickets here, because even in those first two games, as you said, as much as we were backing the Miami Heat, and I was even going on shows here going, I'm not going to be surprised if the Heat go up 2-0, sort of saying it like tongue-in-cheek, but hey, I put that out there on tape, so I'll run away with it. Yeah, I expected them to be up 2-0 at this point. Nobody was betting it that heavily, and particularly Kevin in game two, where you could have set that line at 15.5 and go, yeah, well, they're not losing that game. That's an easy win.
Right.
They're going to go back 1-1.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah,
which is such a ridiculous thing. But that's, again, the way that it was. I bring that up to say, if tonight is kind of finally the night where, you know, most bettors go, okay, give me Miami. Okay, so maybe then this is the night that the Celtics do kind of bounce back here. Because in the same way that I did feel that the idea of Boston getting swept was really hard to wrap my mind around, that was going to be how this played out. It is similarly hard to imagine that they are about to lose every single game at home in this series. And then I believe fall to under 500 at home in these playoffs. Like that would be, unforgivable, really, under any circumstances, right, for this Boston Celtics group here, which is, you know, why you kind of put that eye towards a potential game six. And I think it's certainly in play, more than in play, right? Again, Boston's a huge favorite in this game there. So I do think it matters to see that tonight. Maybe it looks like most people are on Miami.
Fascinating market for me in this one is typically you don't get great prices in the double-double market with really good basketball players. Jason Tatum's a minus 220, so that's what I'm talking about. And also, you know, the whole Julius Randle over the years, like, yeah, just take him and get a double-double with a legitimate shot. I took Jimmy Butler last game, 2-1 price, to get a double-double, missed it by one rebound. He was plus 185 earlier today. He was plus 195 about a half hour ago. He's now back up to 2-1. I'm going to take that again. I'm going Jimmy Butler double-double. But the reason I brought it up is not because I want to tell you that I want to bet Jimmy Butler and betting Jimmy Butler's double-double. Should I be nervous of the blowout for these Boston Celtics tonight? Which means, hey, look, 17, 18 points down, third quarter, 6 minutes to go. You see the writing on the wall. We know we got game six and game seven still for the Heat. Am I going to run Jimmy Butler out here, who has been playing every minute, it seems like, of every game with high leverage minutes? Let me give him a break. Let me rest him up. Let's take care of business in game six, because that's the thing I'm worried about.
Yeah, so I'm actually not... famous last words, right? But I'm not thinking that the blowout is coming in for this reason. And it's why, again, I think the 8 points are the right side. The Heat haven't even lost back-to-back games in these playoffs, Donnie. So the idea that they're going to drop their first game at home and then go back-to-back losses and get just absolutely routed, which would be the first time that's happened since game number two against Milwaukee, that is a tougher sell for me. I don't know if maybe people feel like they were routed last game by Boston. I guess by the end of it, it wasn't all that competitive. The game certainly didn't come down to the wire and feature key guys at the very, very final moments there. But I view this as a spot where you should get full gas. I'll say I think going double-double instead of maybe a points prop there, you could sell me on, because I don't think you get discounts on Jimmy in the points market anymore.
No, you don't.
That number's 28.5. I think he's only hit that in game one of this series, if my memory is correct.
Yes, and it's a good point that you bring up there in that, because you expect him to have a high usage rate, but it's still Jimmy Butler, where it's like, hey, guy got 24 points. Guy got 23, did what he needed to do, played good defense, some assists, some rebounds, and that's the Jimmy Butler we expect. But you aren't getting a discount. And also now with another score that's going to be out of the lineup, keep in mind, like Victor Oladipo, Tyler Hero, and now Gabe Vincent, that's three semi-guards that are going to be out, which really puts a strain, but also a betting opportunity if you do like the backups here. The triple-double market... Jason Tatum 18-1, Jimmy Butler 21-1, Bam Adebayo 50-1, Jaylen Brown 75-1, and Marcus Smart at 95-1. It's kind of funny. I look at that market and go, I probably would take a swing at Marcus Smart before anybody else.
Where's Kyle Lowry? Is that crazy that's where my mind goes? Where's Kyle Lowry?
Is that guy going to play? I mean, what's he going to do tonight? Starting lineup? Let's go, Kyle! We'll be back, and we are going to get after the PGA Tour next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moneyline here on a Thursday afternoon right here on the grid. It's Kevin and Donnie keeping you updated on Major League Baseball action. 1-1 here. Toronto Blue Jays and the Tampa Bay Rays. Bottom of the first inning. One out, one runner on here for the Tampa Bay Rays as Manoah changing baseballs, telling the ump, blah, 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 blah. We'll see what happens. But also a little bit shocking here. Cardinals Reds, no score through four. So headed to the fifth inning right now. And you're in on what? 3.5 is the team total on the Cards?
Yeah, 3.5, which obviously is not going to be the optimal number, but I'm still all right with that in relatively speaking, right? Because it kind of takes one good inning to get you at least in the mix on something like that. How low has it dropped? Is it already down to 2.5?
It's a 2.5 minus 128 right now.
Okay.
So we'll see. But no, it's granted. Not great pitching for the Reds. Not a great bullpen for the Reds. You get two on, nobody out, single up the middle, and away you go. We've all been there before. So we'll see how that one plays out. There is, it looks like, one out and a runner now on second base. It's amazing how much faster FanDuel is than just watching these games on TV. And it was a stolen base from a Rosarena. So now another running in scoring position, which I was talking about earlier. You probably wanted to load up on the lefties in the lineup today against Alek Manoah. Lau, let me see. What did he do there first? Or excuse me, Low. Open up the Low and Lau. That's hilarious. They should both just keep their name the same. How is it Low and Lau anyway? I mean, just change your name to the same. You know, sometimes people just change their pronunciations to make it easier for the fans. I mean, enough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my goodness.
I honestly, you know what I said? Mm-hmm. No, I don't know that. I don't know that. Who
like you see,
who changes their name to make it easier for fans?
Yeah, I mean, like Kay Adams. I mean, come on. So there's a lot of people out there. Sure, yeah, there you go. John Carlo. By the way, go back to John Carlo. Go back to Jan. What is it? What was it? John Carlo now.
I mean,
Mike Stanton. Yeah, I was getting confused there for a second. Mike just doesn't fit that guy. This doesn't fit.
It's just some of the most outrageous answers were just selected here.
There you go.
I've ever heard.
Yep.
So, yeah.
That's how you change it up. Anybody know? Did you know Kay Adams had has a different name? Did you know that? Sort of caught me by surprise a couple months ago.
She's got a working name.
Exactly. I actually got a working name technically. So, you know?
Yeah, you do actually.
I do.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, but here's the part again, because people just know me as, you know, Donnie Wrightside at this point. But I'm telling you, like, you come over to a network and everybody has their regular, and I was a government name, right? I just say regular name. And I remember asking that. I said, hey, you know, like, that's my handle, but, you know, a lot of stuff I go by my Donnie Seymour for a lot of stuff here, right?
Usually.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, hey, you know, I anticipate, like, no, keep the same handle. Okay. Yeah. So then, you know, you see people coming through here. It's like, well, Gabe Morenci, is that a shoot name? No. No. Well, I don't know. I guess I'm unique here. They needed a character on the network, and that's why I'm here.
But, yeah, well, you certainly are a character.
But Donnie Wrightside is the same as Donnie Seymour in real life, to be honest. Like, there is no shtick going on. What you hear is what you get, and maybe even worse. Like, maybe Donnie Wrightside's the polished version at this point and not the gimmick version.
I think that's very, very believable. I think I deal with Donnie Seymour way too much. Honestly, the more I think about it. Well, look, I mean, I think the DRS handle has certainly risen to prominence.
Yes.
You're welcome for that part of it because I've...
It wasn't BSS? Who was it?
No, let me say, you know why? Because I'm the one who did the BSS too. I realized this. I'm an initials guy. I like, you know, kind of wrapping the initials around there. It's
JY.
And I didn't realize that. Yeah, exactly. JY, EKD, AE, BATR, so the whole gimmick there. But I didn't realize whatever. That was a self-aware moment. But anyway, my point is, why, like, should more people here at the grid be embracing gimmick names?
Yes.
Like, that's what I'm, like, instead of, you know, we're now joined by James Young. Like, it should be, you know, Coach, right? Or something, you know, just, or I don't know. Like, who else, what would Ben's gimmick name be?
I already know it. Do you know what Ben's gimmick name is? Ben Scott Stevens. There you go.
Well, you know, it's funny, actually. Ben's,
yes.
But, He has a gimmick name, which
is
Big Ten Ben.
There you go.
Now, how did he? He was able to shake that somehow.
Now, why isn't the little like thing at the bottom of the screen that says your name? Like, why isn't it big? Like Ben Big Ten Ben Stevens, something like that. You know what I mean? Or just Big Ten Ben right on the bottom of the screen.
Well, it might invalidate his analysis of. Subjects though, so maybe that's where that had to get taken away. Like applies everywhere. Like there's no, like what would you be talking where people are like, oh, right side doesn't work.
I don't know what, like political? You know what I mean? Like where else would we have it on Bright Side?
All right, you and JP got it. Your shadow ban. You and your shadow ban.
I'm telling you, I've been getting so much more communication value on Twitter since Elon Musk took over.
No, you haven't.
Took the shadow ban off my Bright Side name here at this point here. So it's the way it is. By the way, let me see something. Yeah. Like I'm on my, and granted, I have a notepad on my desk, right? So at the corner of the notepad, and it's old. It's like, you know, like 2 years old, but I always have it like under my notebooks. Like I'll jot down, like usually my morning will go. I have a ton of like, you know, what are these, like spiral notebooks. Like if I have to do like, hey, Major League Baseball today, you got to do 10 games. I'll jot them all down so I have them in front of me. Next day, just turn the page. And I go through, you know, a couple a month at this point. But I do have a legal pad that is still from, like the best part about, like I'm looking at it right now. Like it says here, like the morning after 9 to 12, channel 159, Sports Grid Network. But the best part about it is up top is one, it says Ariel Epstein, and two, it says Ben Stevens. But in the middle, the Scott is crossed out because. Like I'm looking at it, right. It's old, but I still have that same thing like in front of me. But I get a kick out of that because for like the first, I want to say like 60 days, I just kept it there as like a crutch, like moving back and forth. Like, okay, this is the show I'm on, and this is what it is. Now, granted, it just comes like right off the tongue now. You don't need any like backups, but I just get a kick out of all because it's all like names on here of like even like Brian, producer. Like, I had to remember like B-Rudd was the producer. Yes, but this is way back. Like what? You just got to remember people on spec? Like sometimes I get on, I don't even know who the producer is. Like JP will tell, who's that back there? Oh, that's right, it's JP. You know what I mean? But I'm just and then I flip it over and it's in-game live, Mike Carver and Donnie Whiteside. Like I did a show with Carver. See what I mean? I had to do that at first. Like who am I talking to here? I might just be like, I'll freeze up on camera.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
No, because I know that you have that, but yep. He's got unveiled new information that you also wrote producers on there just in case
to
out the show.
Yes.
It's just incredible.
Yes.
See, hold on. Let me blow up your spot here.
Okay.
Have you saved Brian's number in your phone yet?
I don't, you know, I actually, you know what? I do
come
have
on.
His number.
Now,
hold
come
on. Hold on. Yeah, hold on.
Now,
hold
come
on. Because now here's the best part about it, though.
Yes of all time.
Like I had, like it says Brian producer, obviously your name is in there. Then a random 917 who I think I finally realized who that is. I get messages last night here. It's like Big MC, you, and I got another like a 908 in here, which who even knows who I might be saying something to on there. So you get a kick out of that. But yes, I'm usually the one that leaves the numbers blank. It's like, well, who the heck is this? Like every, I think like Freeze's number is in there, which I don't even have the number, but I've been talking to him legitimately for, I guess, like a year without knowing who the heck was actually texting me saying, are you going to be on the show?
Right. Wait, but who do you think the fourth person is in that group chat for the morning show with me, you, and Brian? Who do you think that fourth person is?
Let me see. Like, oh, let me bring it up just so I can get like a train of thought here.
Come on, come on.
All right, the number it's 917.
Can I just say that you've been on this show for 2 years now, same crew in every way, shape, or form. You've been.
But who actually would need to be on there? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, does he even talk? Who is he? Oh, yeah. Yeah, there is a couple texts in here. Let me
come
see.
On.
I don't even know.
Come
like,
on.
Who would it be?
Oh my God. Come on.
Let me see. Let me go. Like, who would it be? Like, Steve? I don't even know.
Yeah.
Like, who's in there?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I'm telling you, like, it's funny. Like, yes. I don't even ever think he texted in here. So I'm rolling back through my phone. It's like, actually, he does text back and forth here. No idea who that is. It's like a like silent elephant, like when you go on, like, the early line graphics. You know what I mean? Just go, who's that in here?
Uh-huh.
Like, Platypus is in
right.
here. Who? That, you know what I mean? Yeah. That's what I feel. Look, like it is.
Well, to help and throw myself under the bus with you, though nowhere near as far under it, he mainly is only texting to remind me to fill out the same game parlay because I basically always forget to do it until he sends me a text. So shout out to Steve.
There you go. So I figured it out. Took me a minute here. Like, well, who actually needs to talk to me at this point? Or do I hear anybody else in there? But that's the way it is. But I do have, and also, like the phone numbers. Like, I've said this phone number, 844-843-6879, 1,000 times. But even though I'll have, like, you know, a couple little books on top of it, every time we start the show, I slide it to the left and just look at it. And every time I say, like, I know what the number is, but I find myself looking at it every time I bring up the telephone number.
Again, as much as I love throwing you under the bus, if you ever notice, when we intro the early line, what's going on, everybody, right here, early line, Sirius XM, Sports Grid, on a Thursday morning, as I go to say the day of the week, I always have to peek down top of the laptop and take a look at what day it is, no matter what. I never know what
day. I thought you were going to say, like, 204 or something like that. Just keep ripping that out there. Like, oh, I'm not
going to change. No,
that was a tough change.
Is that the old one? Good on you.
Yeah, that's a tough change right there. Also, the other changes that we have. Look, we got a lot more to get to here, including changing scores. Tampa Bay's got two. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back out of here in hour number one. Now it's time to change the tide. And I think the tide is turning here, Kevin, in my favor. Today, we have the Charles Schwab Invitational, which is underway. A lot of golfers have teed off. A lot of golfers, I'd say, what, maybe 30, 40 golfers still left to tee off here. Leader in the clubhouse, actually not even in the clubhouse, I should say. 7 under through 13 holes. Harry Hall, congratulations. You know who's behind Harry Hall? Ches Reavie and Tom Hoagie? H-O-G-E? Hodge?
Hoagie.
What is that? Yeah, we'll go Hoagie on that. Hoagie Man is in there in the third slot. Uh-huh. Followed by David Lipsky, Michael Kim, Austin Smotherman, Ryan Fox, and finally the first name I actually know, Billy Horschel, tied for fourth place in third. Okay, so that's not the point here, but I just wanted to set the table here. If I scroll all the way down to a guy that hasn't teed off yet, he set the tee off at 2:28 p.m., that's everybody's hero, Michael Block, the PGA Tour professional from a golf course, I believe, in San Diego, I want to say, Southern California. He got a special exemption invite for this week, which tournaments are allowed to give out. They have a handful of them. It's like, you know, John Daly can't qualify for this. But, boy, if we had Daly out here, fans get a kick out of that, and we'll let him play. That's what they do. That's what the sponsorship exemptions are for. So, you know, he had a big week there, and everybody's getting emotional, and I was enjoying the moment. So now, do you know why I'm bringing this up, Kevin? Have any inclination? All right, so.
Not a clue.
I saw our guy Dubsy retweet a video of Michael Block. And he went on, I can't remember the guy's name, but a famous account. Not like a Joe Rogan, but like a famous guy in the sports. But asking him questions, and the snippet takeaway was this. Look, man. If I could hit the ball as long as Rory McIlroy, I'd probably be one of the top players in the world. So I'm like, oh, this is exactly what I wanted to hear. So the comments underneath were, man, this guy's story was great. Now it's time to turn the page. And I said, where have you guys been? I snuffed this out last week, pal. Come on now. See what happens when you open the door here, Kevin. You get on podcasts, you get on TV, you start saying the wrong things here, and away we go. Michael Block, what do you think?
Uh-oh. Well, hold on now. So Michael Block's going to turn into a heel. Is that what I'm...
I think he's turning into that. Correct.
Because if that happens, I think you might be liable to jump back on Michael Block's side.
Now, I don't think you would like my... Have you seen Michael Block's attire? Because I think you would get quite angry.
Is his attire not just like normal golf wear?
No, it is, but his hat has three letters on it, which I get a kick out of every time. And it's not AEW.
Well, is it his hat says WWE?
It doesn't say WWE. But what other three-letter words come from the WWE?
Huh. Whoa, hold on.
Looking it up? Yeah, take a look. Just go Michael Block.
Hold on.
And I'm pretty sure the stock files are him playing golf in his hat.
I'm going to Twitter here. Is that the right move?
Yeah. Maybe, yeah. He probably will.
Should I Google him?
I never heard of the company or whatever it is. I don't even know what it's supposed to mean.
Raw.
There you go. Yeah, so I get a kick out of saying it. It's like, oh, Kevin can't like this guy because he's just promoting WWE Monday Night Action every single time he goes out there and golf. But I don't even know what Raw is, but apparently it's got to be a sponsor because he wears it everywhere.
Yeah, I guess so. It does look just like...
Yeah, just R-A-W in big red letters.
Yeah, which is obviously wild. But now, hold on, because, you know, now obviously as I type in his name, right? The first thing, you know, like tweet here is, you know, Michael Block, you know, parentheses, stay humble, go to your head. And then the next people are like, so this is what I'm talking about. People are now hot. People are now hot at Michael Block for basically saying that he's probably a more skillful
yes, correct.
golfer than Rory McIlroy, but it's just the left that's kind of
exactly.
got him beat.
It's basically me right now at 45 years old going like, man, if I was back in school and I was as quick as Justin Jefferson and I had hands like DeAndre Hopkins, I'd just be just as good as all these guys out here. That's basically what he's saying. But the fact that he just used the one term, which again, it's not like, hey man, look, if I had Tiger Woods short game, I'd be unbelievable. Everybody, yeah, that makes some sense. He's basically saying, if I hit the ball a little bit longer, I'm just as good as anybody out there in the field, which isn't correct here. But this is why I love when you give guys a big platform that they might not be used to. They dime themselves out right away. And I'm telling you, like, sometimes you would think, Kevin, I'm just hard and just sometimes I'm just giving it to somebody. And quite frankly, sometimes I do that. But only me would watch Sunday and see this guy on camera the entire time, like, I'm already tired of the story. And all I needed to see was this week one 30-second clip that tells me that he's like, hey, look, if I had the length of some of these other guys, I'd be maybe the best player in the world. I was like, perfect. This is going to turn the tide.
So again, Block's going to get heat now, which is hilarious. But so let me see if I can just kind of pull this back into a world where I'm more comfortable, right?
Yes.
So let's just say Michael Block is correct, right? And that if he had the ability to hit it as far as Rory did, he'd be better. But here's the thing. He doesn't have that ability. So here's one of the arguments that I do not like about basketball players. You hear this plenty, Don. You ever hear the, use Rudy Gobert. If Rudy Gobert wasn't tall, he wouldn't be in the NBA.
Yeah.
Well, good thing he's 7'1". I just, like, and because then the idea is, well, all of his best, you know, skill sets are based on his height. It's, of course they are. Do you want Rudy Gobert to show up to practice and only work on threes and dribbling the basketball? Like, he does what he is able to do. Like, it's just, I don't understand. Sometimes people, they do that all the time with basketball players. Like, man, well, what if he wasn't tall? It's like, what if Shaq wasn't huge? He's huge. And he then modeled his game after being huge and unstoppable. And I'm not even remotely suggesting that Shaq wasn't skilled. He obviously was. So the point of this is, Michael Block basically saying, if I was able to, basically be as good as Rory, I'd be as good as Rory. It's just, like, it's kind of a bunch of nothing to me. Like, people like yourself, and I'm not saying this to take a shot at you, like, man, like, if I was just, like, 6 inches taller, like, I could have been an NFL wide receiver. Yeah, but you're not 6 inches taller, right? And maybe you would have lost a touch of athleticism, because here's the thing. I know a bunch of dudes that are 6'2 and goofy as all get out and can't move. So that's just how it goes sometimes.
Yes, if I just had the quickness of Cooper Kupp, man, I could have done the same things. Exactly.
Yeah.
Rudy Gobert, like saying, hey, Rudy Gobert is not a great basketball player. And you say, well, psh, man, if he had the handles of Kyrie, he'd be amazing. Yeah, no kidding, right? No kidding.
Yes! And again, we all fall victim to it, though. So I do appreciate that Michael Block falls victim to it. Like, let's go truth serum here. Do I think that if I dedicated myself to strictly learning the position of tight end, I could have made it to at least a certain level of college football? Yes, I 100% believe that in my heart, okay? But I didn't. And I think there's a good chance I'm wrong about that. There's a good chance. I mean, I'm basing it entirely on me playing like flag football and being 6'2" and having a year period of my life where I was in solid enough shape. But like, I do appreciate Michael Block basically having a good, you know, 4 days
of people ruin really good things, because if he made the rounds and was just like, oh, shucks, and this is so great, people would have eaten that up. But for some reason, like, I have this radar when I see something that doesn't seem right to me, and it just nailed it right on the head. And again, it's not even, we're not saying that the guy's a bad guy at all. He might be a great guy in real life and a guy you want to hang around with, you know, drink some beers and play golf with. That's beyond the point. But I just love the fact that it's now like, hey, look, played well in this tournament. Hear me out. Like, if I had like 10 more yards on my drive, like, you wouldn't even hear Tiger Woods' name in tournaments that I'm in.
Right. And again, I actually like that. And Michael Block could become a staple moving forward. I actually think that needs to be considered.
I can't wait to see the score today, though. I do.
But also,
he's not already out there.
Hold on. But Donnie, is Michael Block suggesting then that the ability to hit it long isn't something that you can practice? Because Bryson DeChambeau essentially enter like a lab for years to exclusively learn how to hit it long, and it might have ruined the rest of his golf game?
Yeah, you can to a degree, but that specialness has to be there. Do you know what I mean? It's like, hey, Michael Jordan could always jump high. Well, he could get in the gym and just concentrate on jumping, and he could get another 6 to 7 inches. Because that is an extreme talent. Because everybody just goes out to the golf course, and every once in a while, like, hey, man, that guy really hits it long. Well, I'm going to practice hitting it long. It only goes so far. It's like, wow, that pitcher throws 98. Well, I throw 68. Let me just, you know, work on it and get up there. You really can't do that, you know?
Yeah. Okay, no, that makes sense that you can't just... Yeah, I guess I shouldn't suggest that if Block wants to be as long as Rory,
yes,
he can. But I guess I just feel like he's giving Rory, like, zero credit for being able to hit the ball far. Like,
yes, the reason he's a good golfer is because he got lucky and hit it long, and I can't do that.
Yeah, like, you still have to be able to obviously be accurate with it. And also, like... Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what? I don't know. I can't tell if I'm in or out on Block because of this comment here. But because that's only one shot, the drive. Like, I know it's important, or at least I understand enough to know that.
But his follow-up to that, though, Kevin, was, like, I'm so good at the short game. Like, I'm world-class elite at that part of my game. Like, that was the double down. So it's like, if you just gave me length, I'm Tiger Woods inside of, like, 75 yards from the green. So it's not fair that I just can't hit it as long as those guys. That's the only reason why you don't see my face in majors every single time that we play out here. Which, again, I'm looking forward to what he does shoot, because granted, if you go and play in a PGA championship on that type of golf course and you had terrible conditions on a couple of those days and you were able to hang around and get close to par, that is pretty impressive. But it's just the fact that he's basically saying, like, hey, if you thought that was good, give me a free 10 yards out here and I'll win this damn thing.
Well, and I think that maybe is what – why am I patronizing Michael Block like I know more about golf than him? But the this is the thing that's I guess – there's also consistency that comes with this, Donnie, right? Like, do you know that where for if Block is as good as he says, he really shouldn't he be able to avoid – like a lot of boat. Shouldn't he be shooting par all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, get a nice accurate drive and then just be the greatest golfer in the world, from the green.
Fire
end, right?
270 right down the middle every time. Don't worry about being extreme length, you know.
On his approach
shots.
On
your, exactly, all that stuff. Now, granted, he qualified for the PGA Championship. He is a very, very good golfer. But there's a lot of very good basketball players that never, like, you know, sniff NBA stardom. And maybe he's the equivalent of, like, just got that 10-day contract, and they put a mic in front of him, like, Steph Curry, that guy gets injured. Like, I'll take his spot right now. The only thing he's got going, he's got a great three-point shot. Like, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, but... Oh my god. Well, I mean, you know, if my dad played the NBA, I would be Steph Curry. But, like, I don't think you would, pal. I don't think you would.
I mean, Jordan Poole, I mean, some of the best, you know, interviews ever after the game. Hey, Jordan, just dropped 28. You know, Steph's out. What do you think about that? Well, Steph probably should just stay up because I'm the new king here in town at this point. And then he gets, dropped by his teammate and never be heard from again.
I'm assuming he's going to be traded to take the reins here from the golf.
How did they even coexist in that locker room, man?
No idea.
Like, that wasn't a fair one. Like, hey, man, we squared up. We both traded punches. He got me good. Like, hit me with an uppercut, knocked me back, and that's respect. No. Like, there was no, like, respect out of that. And the simple fact is, you know, Draymond wasn't angry at the act. He was angry somebody released the tape. Sensational stuff for Golden State right there. We'll be right back. Much more to go here on a Thursday edition of Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here. Quick little segment before we hit hour number two and your phone calls, 844-843-6879. Manoah battling himself right now. I believe, what inning are we in here? Bottom of the second inning. He's got to be close to 50 pitches. He's got 56 pitches in the second inning. So it looks like we're going to get to some deep bullpen action here shortly. And there are two on and two out here in the bottom of the second inning. The Rays have already plated two runs. And it looks like, was Rainey walk? No, not yet. Looks like a 3-0 count here, so we'll keep an eye on that. Reds and Cardinals still tied at zero here. Bottom of the sixth inning with two outs. But now's the time we'd like to see where JP is going today. Now, JP, I believe what? Major League Baseball season started for you yesterday. What did we go after? I think it was profitable, though, right? Yanks, was it?
Yep. It was a winner. Yeah. It was the Yanks-Orioles game over the total.
Now, you'll like this. I can't guess, Kev, anything that JP does in the NBA. Just nailed that one yesterday when you said he's got a total. It's like, it's got to be the Yanks. Got to be the Yanks game. All right off the bat. Bang it.
Yeah, you had a hot hand there. You're a baseball guy through and through. Did you notice today the new look on the early line for the baseball breakdown?
You know what's funny? Good point you sent up. Because the one thing I do see a lot is, like, the notifications pop up for, like, when Sports Grid, you know, tweets something out. And I watched the clip we were talking about, I believe, which is actually nice. The Rays game, I want to say, was on there. The one that they picked and tweeted out. That's a really nice look. I did like that. I thought that was great. I was like, boy, you know what? I don't pay attention to, like, the V-Mix when I'm going live. Yeah. 'Cause I'm just focused on the camera itself. I had no idea that was even a shot there until I saw that come out as a clip.
Yeah, that was a first today, that new change there. And yeah. I agree it looks nice. But then all I could think about was you seeing it for the first time. Because I knew it was coming. Brian had told me about it. Yeah. You seeing me then in a much smaller box than you, and you making a comment. So I got to be honest. If you go back during your first breakdown, whatever game it was, I smiled through the entire thing. Just getting ready for you to take a shot that you never took.
Yeah, exactly. And I had no idea. You know what's funny? If they never put out a clip, I would probably know for never it would ever even look like that. Just fantastic. Hour number two up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.